Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. Continuing our verse-by-verse study through the book of Proverbs, we come to Proverbs chapter 4 today, verse 1. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Follow along if you are able to do that. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. The Bible says, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding." Hear the instruction of a father. And that assumes that the father knows the Lord, and his instruction is in line with the Holy Bible. And I'll tell you something, if a young person has a godly parent or two, they have something that many do not have today. They have a very special gift from God, and they should take advantage of it and learn from them. Save them a lot of trouble later on in life. Verse 2, "For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law." That's one thing a good parent, a godly parent, can give their children that other parents cannot. That's good doctrine. Sound doctrine. A sound system of beliefs to build their life on. A foundation that they can build on the rest of their life. Because someone who has lived for God a long time is a gold mine of spiritual wisdom. They're a shortcut to wisdom and experience for those who listen to them. Verse 3. Says, "When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother." The writer says, you know, I wasn't always smart. I wasn't always wise. He says, I was once young and inexperienced. But he didn't stay that way because he had godly parents. But there was a time when he was like that, which is understandable because all people are like that, which is why young people should not rule a home. They are not capable. And it is bad when a parent allows it. Children need strong moral leadership so that they can grow to become a responsible adult who then are capable of ruling a household. Verse 4. "He also taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live.'" A parent owes it to God to teach their children right from wrong, and as a result, help them to have the best life possible. Did you know that parents will give an account to God for how they raise their children? It's true. Verse 5, "Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth." A person has to get wisdom according to the Word of God. That means they have to choose to pursue it. It's a choice. You have to go after it. You have to want it. And if they pursue it, then they will learn to be wise, and they'll have a better life because of it, a more godly life. Anyone can have it. But they have to spend time with the right people, listen to the right people, and especially listen to God. 6. "Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you." God's word will protect us if we love it and if we don't let go of it. The choice is ours. God's word is like an umbrella. If we stay under its lordship, if we stay under its protection, then it's going to keep us from a lot of trouble. Verse 7, "Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding." God says wisdom is the principal thing. It's the most important thing. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, the Bible says. That's why it's the principal thing. The wisdom of God's word is better than anything else. Consequently, God has some real practical advice here. He says, get it. No sense in beating around the bush. Get it. Get to know the word of God and don't let anyone or anything stop you. Sometimes we have to sacrifice to have the very best of anything. And we always come out ahead when we do. That's true with the word of God. So you have to sacrifice. So you have to give up this or that to get into the word, spend time with God, and develop that relationship. In the end, you'll be glad that you did. Verse 8, exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. When you get, I should say this, you get out of a relationship which put into it. If you don't make your relationship with someone a priority, it's not gonna be a good relationship. If a husband and wife do not spend time together, their marriage is going to be lousy. If children don't spend time with their parents, that relationship's going to be lousy. It just doesn't happen automatic, you know. And it's the same in our relationship with God. If we don't spend time with God, that relationship is not going to be good. And we're going to miss out on a lot of blessings that otherwise we would have. Verse 9. She will place on your head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory she will deliver to you. He's not talking literally. But what God is saying is that if you walk with Him and you stay close to Him, then He's going to give you a spiritual and moral beauty that the right kind of people are going to be drawn to. Oh, if you are holy and you are good and you are morally and spiritually upright, some people are honestly going to be repelled from you. But that's okay. Let them go. But the right kind of people are going to be drawn to you. There's more. Verse 10, hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. A biblical life is usually a longer life. That's because sin affects our body as well as our soul. Illicit sex, overuse of tobacco, overuse of alcohol, drugs, overuse of food, and so on. These are all connected to disease. Verse 11, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. God teaches and God leads. I like that. That's one thing I really like about God is that His law reflects His holy character. Did you know that? When God gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai, He didn't just arbitrarily pull 10 commandments out of thin air and say, I think these would be nice rules. The law of God reflects His character. It is who He is. And so God doesn't tell us to be anything that He isn't. See, God's no hypocrite. Consequently, God does two big things to help us be the right kind of people. Number one, He teaches us what is right. Number two, He does what is right Himself. Verse 12, when you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. God leads His obedient people one step at a time and one second at a time. So don't be surprised if you don't know what God wants you to do the rest of your life or even tomorrow. If tomorrow comes, and that's a real if, He will show you what He wants you to do when it arrives. You will know tomorrow what God wants you to do tomorrow. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Picture yourself walking down a dark street and you have a flashlight and you got it pointed right in front of your toes. So you know the next step to take. That's how God leads his children. He doesn't always tell us ahead of time, too far in advance anyway, of what he wants us to do. That way we have to stay close to him, you see. And then we know. And then we'll be blessed if we do it. 13, take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Guard the good way that God has shown you, is what he is saying. And when evil seems attractive, turn away from it before it tempts you to the point where you can't resist. Before you cross that point of no return. 14, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Think God is trying to tell us something? Do not investigate what a particular sin might be like. Don't be curious about things that God says are wrong. And if you find that some sin interests you, then get as far away from it as you possibly can. Don't go near it, or it's going to draw you in like a black hole, and you will never get out. Verse 16, for they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. There are people who are like that. Well, you can tell that someone is bad if they get upset when they blow an opportunity to sin. Stay far away from those types of people. The book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom. None of this stuff is earth-shaking truth. I mean, it's all practical, down-to-earth wisdom. Verse 17. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. A bad person, in other words, desires an unnatural thing like sin more than a natural thing like food. They are not normal. And they don't live a normal life because they indulge in abnormal activity. If you're going to do abnormal things, then you're not going to have a normal life. If you indulge in sinful things, you're not going to be able to enjoy good things. 18. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The longer we walk with Jesus Christ, the better our life will be. Now, outward things may not get better, but inwardly we will grow stronger spiritually, and that enriches the entirety of our lives. 19. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Sin leads to trouble, and sin also darkens the mind of the sinner. And that's what this is talking about. That's why, though the reason for trouble in someone's life may be obvious to a godly person, the sinner can't even see it. They don't get it, because sin darkens the mind as well as causes trouble. Verse 20, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. God says, tune your ears into what I'm about to say. 21, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. And God is saying, concentrate on my words. Think about what I say in my word. Verse 22, here's why. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Sin can ruin our health. And since God's word steers us away from sin, God's word will help us to maintain our physical health. The Bible is good for us, not just spiritually, but physically and eternally. Verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it spring the issues of life. Guard your heart means protect your mind. God is saying, keep your thought life clean. Because what we think about affects how we behave. Well, let's stop there for a minute. I'm going to take a break. 1 minute break. I'll be back. You are listening to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret.
This is By the Way. Last month we learned of the death of Steve Jobs, founder of the Apple Computer Company. His efforts have been applauded by many. He will be remembered as an entrepreneur and a genius in technology, invention, and business. Among other things, his work proved the old adage that nothing will be accomplished or even attempted if all possible objections and risks must first be overcome. Mr. Jobs had his share of failure. He had his share of detractors. At some point, he could have easily said, "I quit. It's just not worth it." With plans and dreams pleasing to him, God encourages all of us to press on, to run the race. He encourages us never to give up on the faith that sustains us, never to give in to the objections and temptations of the devil. This is By the Way.
And welcome back to Scripture Verse by Verse. If you would like to be a part of this verse by verse ministry, you can be by praying for us and also through your financial support. Our address is Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. Thank you. Back to our study. In Proverbs chapter 4, we resume our reading in verse 23. God again says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." And I just want to say again, it's very important what we put in our mind, because that's what the heart refers to here. Be very careful. Guard what you put in your mind. Because what you read, what you look at, what you listen to is going to come out in your actions. It's going to affect your behavior, either positively or negatively. Verse 24, "Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you." Use plain talk. God uses plain talk. Just say what you mean. Don't be vague so that you can backtrack on your words if they don't turn out to be popular. Be a statesperson, not a politician. Verse 25, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. In other words, don't be led off track by the sinful things around you. Keep your focus on doing what is correct in the eyes of Christ. Keep your focus on Holy Scripture. Verse 26, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Choose the best life. And the best life is to stay on the path of holiness. Now, that's not going to guarantee a trouble-free life. But as a general rule, it's going to be a well-ordered life and definitely a very good in eternity. Verse 27, do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Stay on the holiness road, is what he is saying. Don't take an alley to sin, thinking that it's a shortcut to happiness, because it's not. You'll be better off in the long run if you do things and live life the way God says is correct. Chapter 5, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion, and that your lips may keep knowledge. If you want to have good sense, then listen to God, and that means read his word and obey it. Reading the Bible will give us good sense. It's going to give us God's sense. And the Lord will show us what makes sense as a result of it and what nonsense is. Verse 3, for the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. God says, watch out for bad girls who use flattery to catch guys. Verse 4, but in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Bad women are sometimes very good at making themselves look attractive and saying things that attract men to them as well. God says, men, don't take the bait or you're going to be sorry. You know what the Bible says. Stick to it. Verse 5, her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. You know that every sin leads us closer to hell. Every sin leads us closer to trouble, to death, because evil behavior takes us further away from God. Some sin, we know from Scripture, results in immediate death. But most of the time, it's more subtle than that, most of the time, sins are a part of a process that leads to death. But either way, it's not good. 6. Lest you ponder her path of life, her ways are unstable. You do not know them. A person can sin so much that they get to the point where they don't even feel guilt anymore. A person like that is teetering on the edge of hell because they don't even see any need of repenting. Lest you ponder her path of life, her ways are unstable. You do not know them. Verse 7, therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. There's a lot at stake, like physical health and staying out of hell. So God says, listen and obey. Verse 8, remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house. Defeating sin boils down to making the correct choices. And the most important choice is to stay as far away from the things that tempt you as you possibly can. Do you think it's going to get easier to defeat temptation if you play with it? No, it'll grab you. It'll draw you in until all of a sudden you can't get out. You're involved, and it's too late. Just don't go near it. Verse 9, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one, lest aliens be filled with your wealth and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. I wonder how many men have had to bribe an immoral woman so that they wouldn't talk about the bad that they did together. God is saying, stay away from sin, so you won't have to pay for it, in that way or in other ways. Verse 11, and you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed. God wants to give us wisdom in advance so we don't learn the hard way. And he warns here, the person who lives for sin instead of for God will be sad when they are old. They will know that they have wasted the life that God gave them. Verse 12. Let's read 11. And you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed and say, how I have hated instruction and my heart despised reproof. As time goes on and the end draws near, the sinner will say, I sure was stupid. Man, I was stupid for doing wrong. I was stupid for not listening to those who tried to correct me. I was stupid for not reading the Bible. I was stupid for not following it. Now it's too late. Can't do anything about it. Life is shot. No overs. Verse 13, I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. You know, for some people, it's too late right now. They have lived their life in sin and experienced all sorts of misery as a result. They never did learn their lesson, so it's too late to do anything about it. 14. He says, I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Public disgrace. That's another consequence of living in sin. Sooner or later, it catches up with the sinner. 15. Drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. In other words, God says every man should limit his sexual activity to his own wife and be satisfied with her. Don't drink from another man's well. 16. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets? In other words, God says enjoy the physical part of love in the right way within the boundaries of marriage. 17. Let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. God is saying keep sexual love where it ought to be, and that's with your husband or your wife. God says don't share it with anyone else. 18. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. God tells husbands that they should enjoy their wife. Husbands should consider that part of their relationship with their wife to be a gift from God, and they should enjoy it because that's what God wants. God intended it to be that way. 19. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. It's hard to elaborate on what God says here. It needs no clarification. It's safe to say that God wants a husband and wife to enjoy each other. Again, God made it to be that way. It's not right for a wife to withhold that from her husband, or a husband to withhold that from his wife. That is sin, and it causes all sorts of problems. Verse 20, for why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? Why wrap your arms around some loose woman who's been with more men than she can count and as a result may have more diseases than you can count? Why do that when you can embrace a good woman who loves you, says God? 21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. In other words, if you need another reason to not mess around, then remember that God sees you. God sees all our ways. Nothing is hidden from him. No sin is ever done in secret. 22. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. No one commits sin and gets away with it, because every single sin comes fully loaded with its own bad consequences. 23. He shall die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. People sin because they lack discipline. People refuse to repent because they will not discipline themselves. People experience eternal death and hell because they did not want to change. And so, there's no other way of putting it. An evil person is a foolish person. Questions, comments, you can write me at Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. Or you can email me at versebyverse@live.com. That's versebyverse@live.com. Your questions, your comments, your prayer requests are always welcome. If you want to study the Word of God further, you can do that at the Scripture Verse by Verse website. That can be found at thebibleversebyverse.com. That's thebibleversebyverse.com. You can study the entire Bible for free using my audio messages, going through any book of the Bible that you want to go through, verse by verse. And recently I've begun writing a series of commentaries, so they will be posted online as well. The book of Matthew is there right now, and others will be coming later. So thank you for spending this time with me. Until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.